Blog Talk Radio.
Play Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs.
Yes, Lord, we got a brand new president. What? Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of
come on.
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Sports City,
chef,
yeah.
Connecticut.
Took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside, the kitchen timeless is alive. Sports City, what's going on? It's your boy TP Timeless back in the building. Shout out to everybody that's been tuning in and giving us that love. Welcome to the Crossover Cafe with the Master Chef Edition. We are about to get locked and loaded into this thing, and it's crazy that the month of March is going even crazier right now. But besides all of that, I do have to pay my respects, give a moment of silence to the late and great Elgin Baylor. Yeah, definitely, man. It's been a troubling time in the world today or in the past year and a half or so, or, you know, however you take it day by day, got to try to be strong as best as we possibly can. I do have my co-host with me for the evening right now until we start to fill in, calling out by way of the state of Connecticut. You guys know him as the villain. Barry, welcome to the cafe. How are you feeling this evening?
Villain, it's the beat. You hear it in his sleep sometimes, blare it in your Jeep so you people can stare at the rhymes. I'm good, TP. You know, living the life, you know, living the dream here. I got to echo your sentiments. Rest in peace to one of the legends of the NBA and of basketball, Elgin Baylor. Sad news that we heard out of there today. But, you know, we're living, man. We just got to love the ones we have and tell them we love them. So, you know, love you, big bro. How you doing?
Doing all right, man. Trying to be positive about this, but it's like the way it was happening today, I found out about it late before everybody else had already had the news, and I'm like, I didn't want to be late, and, you know, looking at it on different networks and just knowing how much he meant not only to, you know, the sport of basketball, but also to African-American people playing basketball within that sport. He was one of the first to be in that league alongside with, you know, Bill Russell and things of that nature, and when you think of him, you think of the NBA logo with, like, Jerry West and Gail Goodrich and, you know, Will Chamberlain, all of those guys he's played alongside with out there from L.A. He's an East Coast guy from D.C. So his lineage is, you know, well spoke about and, you know, what he was able to do also with the Clippers, too. So not only just the Lakers, but also with the Clippers, too. I mean, intelligent, great mind, great basketball guy, lived to the age of 86, a nice long life, and you know, I feel bad that this is, you know, happening at a big flux. And somebody actually said something about the fact that we're going to start seeing more of this because these guys are at that age where they are going to start leaving us. So just like you said, just cherish and love everybody that you got around you as best as you possibly can, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and you know, one of the first, you know, not first, but one of the few African-American general managers in the league too with the Clippers for a long time, only got them to a couple playoffs, but did win GM of the year, you know, felt he was forced out of L.A. because of discrimination and racial, racial discrimination type things. And it, you know, it kind of, he kind of dropped it. But then, you know, he did work for Donald Sterling. So, I mean, there might have been some merit to it. So, but, you know, he said he took the job because there weren't a lot of opportunities for African-Americans. And he wanted to make, make his mark and help, you know, bring people up with him to that type of level. So, you know, and hearing people talk about him today, TP, you know, he was just a great person. He was a great man. And not just a great basketball player. You know, we know 14 years in the league, 11-time All-NBA, all that, you know, great player, one of the true pioneers that pushed the game forward. We know that. But, you know, everything that people that knew him said about him, he was a great person. So, I mean, just strive to be that in life, and everything else will take care of itself. So, you know, prayers to his family, his wife, his children, and friends and loved ones, everybody that knew him or was affected, touched by him. So, you know, it's just a tough day, TP. It's a tough thing to lose somebody, you know, that everybody loved.
Tough weekend, tough day. I mean, you know, everything going around in the world, and, you know, it's just unfortunate that these deaths are happening, like, year on end. Like, we're just, 14 months from losing Kobe, and now you got the situation with Elgin Baylor, both of these guys being L.A. legends in their own right. And it's incredible to, like, speak any faster. And I don't like starting these shows off like that, but I want to give them their flowers, you know what I'm saying? Like, respect them. It's like, but I can't hide away from it. Like, I got to be able to,
absolutely,
you know, address it, gotta try to lift the energy up as best as I possibly can.
Absolutely.
So, before we get into the NBA talk, the month of March is mad. I want you to know that. Like, it's really mad. Like, all of this this NBA tournament is not cool. Like dudes are getting knocked off. I'm talking about punching their face and knocked off, just to say the least. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, my bracket is I only have one Final Four team left, basically. You know, it's just been madness, TP, like, with, you know, Illinois going down, you know, Ohio State going down the first day. You know, a lot of good teams, you know, there's still good teams left in the tourney, but, I mean, a lot of upsets, a lot of Cinderellas. And it's the nature of the beast, man. It's why I love watching March Madness, man. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Man. One of my brackets, I have two. Another bracket, I have three. And another one, I have two. So that lets you know how bad the situation is going. Like the one that has three is like, come on, baby. Like, baby need new shoes. Please, hang on tight. Hang on tight. I don't know if they're going to hang on, man. But just watching how some of these teams that went down between, you know, Iowa and Illinois, and oh my gosh, man, ain't none of y'all safe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, the big takeaway for me, TP, was that how poorly the Big Ten has kind of come out outside of a few teams here and there. I mean, but how well 12 has looked. I mean, I would have been on the college basketball show with you. And then we've done Sunday shows together on the Timeless Sunday Brunch. And I have been critical of the Pac-12. I've killed them all year. And I said they're weak. They had no business getting all these teams in there. And, I mean, outside of Colorado getting destroyed today by Florida State, who is another team that we've been killing, I mean, the Pac-12 has looked really good. Oregon upsetting Iowa, like you mentioned. UCLA taking care of business, getting into the Sweet 16. USC up on Kansas right now. I mean, there's just a lot of, you know, it's just, wow. You know, and I knew this was going to happen, TP. I said it to you before. I said, I bet against the Pac-12, and I knew it would burn me because it always happens like that. And sure enough, as the days are long and the sun is bright, you know, the Pac-12 just came out and, you know, had a nice showing so far.
man, and it's like they listen to me. You know what I'm saying? As soon as I started talking junk about the Pac-12, four of them in there, and they're going rampant right now. Like, they ain't playing around with nobody, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know where to start, you know, because I'm trying my best to, you know, get this, you know, out of the way if I'm talking tournament talk, because I know we're going to spill into a lot of the NBA, because there's so many different news and notes and perspectives and interesting things that have happened across the board. First and foremost, I'm going to talk about the elephant in the room. The L.A. Lakers, or the Los Angeles Lakers, super mega star LeBron James, suffers a high ankle sprain and will be out for a good amount of time. Most people are thinking this is a 2 to 3 week injury, potentially a miss a good amount of games. Your thoughts on LeBron James and Anthony Davis, both out with injuries, how do they survive this storm?
They don't. They don't, TP. I think if they go 500, it'll be a miracle. You know, this team is heavily built on the two big stars that they got. Like, you know, there's a lot of big threes where you have some, you know, a collection of really good players, but they have two of maybe arguably the top five players in the league. And that's how this team was built and constructed. So to lose those two guys is a crusher. You know, AD was already nursing that injury that they hoped wouldn't turn out to be Kevin Durant with the Achilles. Now you lose LeBron. Now, granted, we at the kitchen thought, hey, you know, maybe LeBron will be playing way too many minutes and he'll wear down at his age and, you know, the injury will come get him. This was more of a freak injury, you know, it got rolled up on. But still, you know, it's an injury nevertheless that it was, in our opinion, inevitable. You know, now he has to, you know, sit out for a significant, you know, amount of time. I hadn't gotten the timeline. I'm getting that kind of from you. You know, it's a high ankle sprain. There's quote-unquote indefinite timeline. You know, they're just saying several weeks. So, you know, I'm thinking 4 to 6 at the very least. But to lose him is a crusher. And like I said, 500 will be asking a lot for a team that is going to be relying on like Marcus Gasol and Schroeder to carry the load offensively. You know, Marcus Gasol isn't that same dude that he was, in Memphis, barely he was in Toronto. Schroeder, you know, I don't know if he could be that number one guy. So it's going to be a committee thing. We're going to have to see if Vogel can get this team to at least defend. I think if they defend TP, they should be able to win some games here. Defense travels. You're always in the game if you play defense. You hustle, you know, close out, all that good stuff. But, like, this team, their playoff chances have taken a big hit. And if they don't get these guys back and healthy, I don't see them making a run.
I beg to differ. I think the Lakers are in a lot of trouble. I can't look at anybody stepping up other than potentially Schroeder, Kuzma, or Harrell. And I don't know if these guys are team leaders to be the guys. I know LeBron and AD are going to be there on the sideline trying to, like, pep them up and give them, like, pointers on where to be on X and O situation. But while being out there, they all play erratic, especially Schroeder. Like, Schroeder will do a lot of those pop shot situations. If he's hot, then it's working. But Kuzma is, like, one of those guys that's still trying to prove his point. And it's like, is that the time or direction that they need to be going right now? So that's something that I'm concerned about with them. Montrezl Harrell is a guy that could create for himself on the post. But a consistent play is the question mark that I'm looking at, especially being with this Lakers team. So I don't know. I really feel bad for the Lakers that injuries are what are surfacing right now. I'd rather see them lose or go out on a competitive nature, not being at the lines of it being injury riddled, you know. So all eyes are on L.A. These guys are a top 14 within the West. I think that they could potentially fall if they don't figure this out, and they can potentially fall out of the top 8. If they aren't safe, because I think the 8th or 9th seed is like a couple games back from the Lakers. Everybody's going to throw their best punch at them. They know this is the Lakers to try to fight for a home court position. within the Western Conference as well, or teams alike. So this is a gimme game if they start to play them. They just got to play them tough, you know?
Right. I mean, and the West is deep, TP, so, I mean, any kind of falter by them can, to your point, can knock them way out of the playoff picture. They could be in a play-in game at the 10 spot. So, you know, it could really do a lot of damage. And then I'm hearing, TP, today that Montrezl Harrell is potentially on the trade block. So now, you know, the Lakers don't even know if he could be counted on, because they're trying to trade him to the Hornets. So
they can't
do that
right now. They can't afford to get rid of him. They can't. Not right now. Not right now. They got
I agree with you, but this report has been as recent as a couple hours ago, TP. So, I mean, I agree with you. They can't do this. They can't make this unless they're getting something back. Unless they're getting like Gordon Hayward back from the Hornets, which I doubt is going to happen. They can't make that move. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I honestly, if they make that deal, I feel like they're as good as dead. I don't know. I don't see the logic in it, especially with LeBron hurt now.
It's unfortunate because I've seen LeBron actually play through rolled ankles, but the way that he sprained his ankle, it went the other way. You normally see your big toe roll towards your pinky toe. You know, that's usually the normal rolling of the ankle, which he's a monster to come back out there and play, but he rolled it the other way with his pinky toe going toward his big toe. And it was, you know, somebody fell into him. So that makes it even more of an interesting sprain. And I know people that are actually out there in the California region that know him, actually some of their physical trainers. I've been in line with a lot of powerful people in the NBA lately, and they're trying to get more word on what to go off of. So this is actually as of yesterday and going into today. So I'll find out more within these coming days. And that's critical to the Los Angeles Lakers and what they're going to be able to do moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, and think about it. They're only about four games separated from the seventh spot with the Spurs. So,
right.
I mean, you know, it could be a matter of games before they're, you know, to your point, at the eighth seed or worse. So, you know, and high ankle sprains are not easy to come back from. I've had ankle sprains. You know me. I've dealt with ankle sprains all through high school, but it was the lower part of my ankle. It's a higher ankle sprain. It's not fun, and it's harder to come back from because it's the way the ankle kind of connects, and you know it's harder to heal. So yeah, I mean to your point, this could spell a lot of trouble for the Lakers, and you know, it couldn't have come at a worse time.
Okay, we got Big Easy in the building. Welcome to the cafe. How are you feeling this evening?
I am feeling great, my brother, and just hearing what you guys have been talking about. The Lakers are, they're in trouble. Wesley Matthews is a player that I've been talking about that needs to get some production. He's still nowhere to be found. Again, 16 minutes, 0 points. Montrezl Harrell is stepping up big in the absence. And I don't know where these trade rumors are coming for, but I doubt that they're going to get rid of Harrell. He's one of their big pieces, especially with LeBron being gone. So I don't see them moving him. They're going to have to gel together right now. They're going to need a lot out of Talen Horton Tucker. It'll be his time to shine as well. But Wesley Matthews, I've been very unimpressed with. He's like Mark Gasol, a failed experiment so far. You're getting no production out of him. So we'll see where it goes. But it's going to be a hard road. Frank Vogel's coaching staff, his skills are going to be put to the test now to see if he can get this team going. Markieff Morris is going to have to step up, and these guys are going to have to figure out how to play together. It'll be interesting to see Schroeder facilitate, and he's going to have to step up in the leadership role, him and Kuzma. So if the Lakers can do that and they can get some solid play out of these guys, they're going to stay in the playoff picture, no problem. But if they can't get it together, the West is loaded, like you guys just touched on. There's so many up-and-coming teams. It's bunched up. They could easily, you know, fall out of the top eight if things continue to go how they're going. That was a tough test against the Phoenix Suns last night that they had to go up against, and they got blown out. So they hung in there for a while, but they ended up getting blown out. And excuse me, and the Suns are one of the top teams in NBA right now in the Western Conference. So they continue to climb, and they're going to have to find a way to win, gentlemen. They're going to have to find they're going to have to gel together, and Frank Vogel is going to have to rally his troops and get these guys on the same page. They definitely need to go out and get somebody in the buyout market. They got rid of Damian Jones. They didn't extend his 10-day contract. So that is something that is going to be that needs to be addressed rather quickly. So I don't know if they're going to go out and snag Boogie Cousins, or if they're going to try to go with Andre Drummond, which I think that would be the best bet. We all know Drummond's a great defender, could score, rebound, clog up the paint. Boogie Cousins is more of a scorer. He can get down with some rebounds and play some defense, but not as good as Drummond can. So those are my thoughts on that.
Hopefully it can make these fixes on the fly. That's the one thing that I'm concerned about with the Lakers. And I'm going to go from one injury that, you know, they have hope, you know, behind the situation, the one that just took the air out of my sails, and that is LaMelo Ball. And I feel horrible watching this happen as he's fractured his wrist and potentially out for the season. This guy is on his rookie of the year campaign and was the leader head and shoulders, and it's still a threat for him to win it, but there's rookies out there that could probably make an advance to the latter part of this season, and it's unfortunate that this happened. I really want to say he was one of the pieces. I really want to say he is the piece, but one of the pieces to have Charlotte in the top half of the Eastern Conference bracket. And I think if he's out for the remainder of the season, I would hope that Devontae Graham could hold it down while he's out and can keep them in at least the first round so he can come back, but he'll at least miss the entire regular season. I want to see how you guys feel about this injury happening to LaMelo Ball. I'm extremely high on, but I want to see how you guys feel. Eric, I'll come to you first. Your thoughts on LaMelo Ball?
Absolutely devastating. That's all I can say. This guy, it was the surefire rookie of the year, no debate about it. Took over. I mean, he's already adapting into the leadership role of that young Charlotte Hornets team. They're on the cusp of going to the playoffs. He's averaging 16.7 points a game, 8 assists. This guy was doing it all out there. And the main thing that what he was doing out there and what I really like to see, Timeless, is he's young, but he's already embracing that leadership role. He's going out there and facilitating games. A great passer, got great basketball IQ. And this is a devastating loss for the Charlotte Hornets. It'll definitely hurt their playoff hopes, and we can just hope and pray for a speedy recovery for him, because he was off to an amazing start in his young NBA career, and he was hands down, rookie of the year. No debate about it.
Barry, your thoughts on going from one devastating injury at the wrong time to the next team suffering a devastating injury, and this one happening to the LaMelo Ball, guard of the Charlotte Hornets?
Yeah, devastated. I saw this and I was like, you got to be kidding. Like I thought it was a joke. You know, LaMelo Ball, I wasn't high on him coming into the draft. I knew he was okay. I knew he was a good player, but I just, because of the hype of his, you know, his pops and everything, and I just like, all right, whatever, we'll see. He surprised me. I think we had some articles on the website, sportscitychefs.com, talking about the hype of LaMelo Ball was real. I bought into it, and with good reason. You know, averaging almost 16 points a game, 6 rebounds, 5, you know, 6 assists a game. He was not only the clear-cut front runner, the rookie of the year, he was going to be one of the first kind of probably unanimous ones in a while. And to see him get injured like that on a, you know, just a, a play he was going hard to the basket. It was heartbreaking. I hope the Hornets were a good story. They were a couple games over 500. You know, Jordan finally got the draft right. You know, he had a history of making those terrible draft picks, you know, a la Kwame Brown, et cetera. And, you know, to finally hit on a draft pick and get it right and you know, have a cornerstone piece in Charlotte and to see this happen. You know, he's 19. He'll come back from this, I'm sure. But it sucks because, you know, we had just got the LeBron versus LaMelo matchup. You know, there was hype about it in his comments that he wasn't really too taken back by, you know, playing against LeBron for the first time. It was just another game, blah, blah, blah. I kind of liked that a little bit. But, you know, just to kind of go from that to this point is kind of devastating. But he'll be back. You know, he's going to definitely be a player in this league. You know, he's exciting to watch. He's a brilliant passer. His shot looks ugly, but it goes in. You know, he's fun to watch. So it from that standpoint, it just sucks. So, I hope him a speedy recovery and that he can get back on the court, hopefully this year, but if not, you know, stronger than ever next year.
That's what I'm hoping for. And I don't want this to be a bad situation because he is a scorer and he's a shooter too. So it's his wrist, it's his shooting wrist. Hopefully this doesn't bother his career, man. And not only is it devastating because Charlotte looked like they were going to get off to an interesting run into the playoffs, and he won't be there at least for the start of it. Hopefully the team can hold it together and keep them pegged right where they are in the Eastern Conference. But it's so interesting in the Eastern Conference where these teams are going up and down and people fighting for position, and Charlotte could actually end up falling. But at least they got a lot of their pieces back to play. But he was the spoon to it all. He was the spoon that kept everybody happy and content. They played that free-flowing ball. So figuratively, you know, pun intended, that's his last name, man. But, LaMelo, I'm fighting for you, man. I want to see you do well. I've been in arguments in and out of a lot of these rooms talking about you being the real Melo as of this season. And it's unfortunate that it came to this type of a halt, man. Horrible. Okay, that's one. I mean, so now into these games and scores and things of that nature across the league, and seeing how everything is up flux, you know, within the NBA, especially in the Western Conference. You got the likes of this Lakers team suffering injuries at the wrong time. Also with the Phoenix Suns, these guys are on an impressive run. The Atlanta Hawks are on an impressive run as well out east. I want to see how you guys feel about Utah right now, though. Things have turned around for them. They are not playing the ball that they played in the first half of the season. They are playing interesting enough on the downside of what they look like. Do they stay in the top four? Because there are a lot of teams that are coming after them, and it's more or less how I look at it. I feel like they've actually turned into human beings again. How do you feel about this Utah Jazz team? Barry, I'll come to you first. They have not been successful as they were starting the season. They are a team that are looking more like the Hunted.
Yeah, I mean, when you're talking about a Jazz team, you know, they're up big in Chicago. But, I mean, you know, to your point, you know, they've had some losses against a good Philly team without Embiid, which is kind of a question mark for me. You know, the Pelicans, you know, they beat the Rockets. Everybody beats the Rockets these days. Shout out to Sirius.
Shout out to Sirius.
We love you, Sirius. I mean, but, you know, if anything, you know, they just haven't, you know, they're just not consistent like they were. I think it's on the defensive end where they start to have some lapses. They start to see some cracks in the armor. You know, so I think, you know, it happens. They got off to such a great start. It has to even out. The NBA is a league of runs, you know what I mean? You can get off to a hot start, and then the team you're playing makes a run because everybody makes a run. So, I mean, they're going to start to kind of fall back to the pack. It's hard to win like the Bulls and the Warriors did 70-something games. So, you know, it's not easy to win all your games. So I'm not surprised. I think they'll get it together for the playoffs. But, I mean, I think this is the real Jazz team. Like, I think they're a really good team. I don't see them as a great team. I don't see them as a super threat. Now, with the injuries in L.A., yeah, I could see them as a threat. But if they were in a seven-game series against, like, say, the Clippers or the Mavericks who are starting to come on, I kind of question if they can pull it out. So I think that's who they are. I think they won some games early in the season. They got off to such a run that they were really hard to deal with. But I think, especially now with the defense kind of being inconsistent, they're the team that we kind of thought they were, you know, to cue your famous call. You are who they thought they were. They're just a very good team, a very, very good team. So we'll see. We'll see if they can get it together for the playoffs. But, you know, I think on the defensive end, they got to kind of clean some things up.
Okay, Eric, what are your thoughts about this Utah Jazz team being out west? They are actually playing good right now against the Chicago Bulls. I'm looking at the Bulls. They don't really have that true identity, but up against those tougher teams, Utah has actually been impressed by these other teams that are looking to see how they measure up against the league's best.
Yeah, exactly. You know what, Timeless? The Utah Jazz are going to be
fine. You got to speak up. You got to speak up.
All right, yeah, the Utah Jazz are going to be fine here. There's absolutely no problem with them. We all know streaks come and go, but they're going to stay consistent. They're going to end up doing what is necessary. They're playing great ball today. They're supposed to be beating a team like this, how they're beating them. So all looks well in Utah. Donovan Mitchell's playing great. Rudy Gobert's starting to up his game. So they just had a little little slide there, but nothing to be alarmed at. The Utah Jazz are still a force to be reckoned with, and they're still going to potentially be one of the top two teams coming out of the West. So I wouldn't worry about a slide because we know streaks come and go, but this team is going to be consistently winning.
Okay, we'll see that. They've come out sluggish, but we'll see. I don't know. There's a team behind them called the Phoenix Suns. I think Phoenix may end up catching them because Phoenix is playing a strong brand of basketball. I can't believe that Chris Paul has had that much of an impact on that team. Portland is turning things around, even though they got beat by 40 last night, but they are on the up climb, especially with getting C.J. McCollum back. So they'll be starting to build their thing up as well. So we'll see. I wonder if Utah can hang on to this situation, but they are out west. It is the Infinity War, and believe me, there are too many superheroes for them to be worried about. Trying to man this with just, you know, Spider-Man and who would I call Rudy Gobert? Like the Ant-Man, because he could grow to be 7 feet tall. <I don't...
laughs> He's probably Groot. I would think he's Groot. But you know what it is, TP? Like, to be honest, like I said, like they're 6-6 in their last 12 games. You know, probably be 7-6 after tonight. But, you know, like their defensive efficiency has gone way down. They're in the back half of defensive efficiency in those last 12 games. And now after today's game, they got a date with the Brooklyn Nets. So it doesn't get much easier for them. So, you know, listen, it'll be a good test to see, you know, even Rudy Gobert has come out and said, you know, listen, we haven't accomplished anything, and I think they're kind of playing like they have, like they already won the title. They're really complacent. So I think getting the Brooklyn Nets coming to town will help them refocus, and hopefully they can, you know, bear down and get a win against a really good Brooklyn team that, you know, looks like it doesn't matter who's on the court, you know, they're coming, and they're going to be a tough out for anybody, and that's including anybody in the West.
Okay, I want to do some of these scores to be quick. The Hornets and the Spurs are tied at 78. The Jazz and the Bulls, the Jazz are up 70-52. The Rockets are up 76-69 on the Raptors in Houston. I want to say, and this is a bad situation because both of these teams are losing as of late. And the Raptors are already in talks about the Kyle Lowry situation, so I want to see how that pans out. The Grizzlies are beating the Celtics 76-72. The Bucks are beating the Pacers 95-76, and this is surprising, and I will get back to that also. The Hawks are winning on the road up against the Clippers 27-26. It's early in the first quarter. The Kings beat the Cavaliers 119-105. in a final, and the last game that I have in a final are the Oklahoma City Thunder beating the Minnesota Timberwolves 112-103. There's also another injury that I did peg over was Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's out with an injury also. I want to see how you guys feel about him being out and how the Bucks have responded without him. They're 19 on a team, and people are high on the Pacers, and I'm not high on the Pacers. I don't feel like they are that team. How do you feel about both of these teams being the Bucks and the Pacers moving forward? Come to you first, Barry. I'm sorry.
I was like, okay, is he coming to me first? I don't know. I was like, okay. Listen, you know, what was it, a knee sprain with Giannis? So, you know, we'll see how he responds. You know, he had, you know, a little bit of, you know, controversy. He had a big win against the Sixers. We kind of talked about it last week and, you know, sat on the court and, you know, Dwight Howard took exception, you know, sensitive NBA players. We talked about it. Me and Eric talked about it. Stop being so sensitive. You don't want them to sit on the court, then stop them. You know what I mean? You know, win the game. You guys were up big in that game. Stop them. But, you know, listen, I think the Bucks, I think they'll weather the storm without Giannis. I don't think it'll be a significant injury. Now, hopefully it doesn't linger. They can't win without him, like, long term. So hopefully, you know, hey, listen, it's not something that'll, like I said, linger and that he can get back on the court. But, I agree with you with the Pacers, too. I don't believe them. I think, you know, they're just smoke and mirrors to me. They weren't playing good basketball up until the break. They got a couple wins, but for the most part, I just not buying this team at all. So we'll see if Giannis can get back. Coach said he's hopeful that, you know, that his injury won't linger too long, that they can get him back in the court. So maybe they can steal a couple games here and there, get him back in a week or two rested and then ready to go and firing on all cylinders. He was having a nice little run with some triple doubles and really playing some really inspired basketball up until the injury. So that was unfortunate. So we'll see what happens. We'll see if he can, you know, if the injury isn't significant, he can get back on the court.
Okay, Eric, how about you? How do you feel about the situation with Giannis Antetokounmpo out with an ankle injury and the way that they've been able to respond? Also, how do you feel about this Pacers team?
Well, the Pacers are missing one of their key components right now, so you got to throw that in there. So that's to be expected. Sabonis is out there by himself doing this. So I think they'll be fine once that other key component comes into play for him, his partner in crime. The Bucks, again, they're getting big production from Covington, Brooke Lopez. They'll weather the storm, like Barry said. I don't know if they can hang on too much without Giannis because he's a big part of what they do, but they are playing really good ball right now, so we'll just have to see how it continues. But the Pacers, they're going to be right back in the mix too.
Well, we'll see, especially on the end of the Pacers. I know that they've been dealing with injuries so much throughout this season, but the crazy part about it is when they start to come back, how do they get back into game shape? And they do have Sabonis. They try to get LeVert back into this situation, but I know it's going to take a long time for him to, you know, feel confident in himself and then, you know, try to work the pieces in with TJ and also with Brogdon as well. But I'm not sold on the Pacers right now. I feel like they may end up missing the playoffs unless they have an extreme turnaround or a building confidence as well. That's the one thing I'm worried about with the Pacers. The Bucks, the way that they were able to, you know, return this situation, they are at home, so I do want to give them that type of credit. But I'm a little intrigued on the way that this Bucks is going to hold against them.
That's you know what I mean? I wouldn't put too much stock into it. So Brogdon is not playing in this game. So
yeah, he's been out for a couple weeks. So we'll see.
That's what I was saying. Without Brogdon, this team's totally different. They rely on that 1-2 punch of him and Sabonis. It gets the whole offense going. So without him, it's pretty much the Sabonis show, and they haven't been living up to their expectations. But once he comes back, depending on how long he's going to be out, this team is going to be right back in the playoff hunt because they were playing some pretty good basketball. They beat some pretty good teams. But, yeah, they're going out. The Bucks are taking care of business tonight without Giannis, but you got to remember Brogdon's also out.
Okay, calling out of the 914 area code. Welcome to the cafe. What's your name? What's on your mind tonight?
Good evening, everyone. It's Alan, friend of the show. How's everyone doing tonight?
Doing all right. How are you?
Good, good, good. I was catching some NCAA games. Took care of some stuff around the house. I figured to see what you guys were cooking up tonight. So I'm checking in.
So your thoughts on the Bucks and the Pacers out east? The Bucks are actually playing good without Giannis right now, with him dealing with an ankle injury. And the Pacers are being beat up pretty bad, and they're dealing with injuries across the board too. These two teams in interesting directions. Your thoughts?
So I feel like with Giannis's injury out, when he's out, it kind of allows the other players to step up. So Middleton slides into the number one option. Drew Holiday becomes the number two option. And I actually think this floor is actually more spread out for the Bucks when Giannis is not playing. Like when they know he's not going to play the entire game, I feel like the coach comes out with a different game plan. They're able to open it up more, and that's why they're hitting so many threes tonight. And they're up 19 against the Pacers. You see that looking at the stats right now, Drew Holiday has 21, Brooke Lopez has 18. So I feel like it's more of like a well-balanced attack when Giannis is not there. While he's out, I feel like it gives a chance for P.J. Tucker to possibly get some run, get a feel for the team and how they play and how he'll come in defensively. So I feel like with Giannis out, it's like a different game plan. I mean, obviously he's a two-time MVP, but I feel like with them, while he's out, they kind of have a different offense. When he comes back, they can incorporate everything they're doing tonight. They might, you know, they've been playing really well. I know a couple episodes ago we were kind of down on the Bucks early on. We're like, we're not sure about the Bucks, but they're turning around at 27-14, and you know, moving up the standings. Regarding the Pacers, I mean, I'm looking at the standings right now, and we all agree that Eastern Conference, you could lose four games, win four games, you could go from 11-6. So I feel like the Pacers they're right in the thick of it because the Hornets, you know, we all know they lost LaMelo, so that's going to take some firepower off the Hornets. Pacers just got Caris LeVert back. So, you know, once, you know, Brogdon comes back, LeVert, it's a bonus. They could kind of form like not a big three, but, you know, they're solid. So you never know with the Eastern Conference. I feel like, you know, they win a couple games, Pacers can make a run. They could, you know, right now in their ninth seed, they got the play-in game this year. And so I think they're right in the thick of everyone else.
Okay, so we'll move from that situation and, you know, get into the thick of things across the board. Now, there was an interesting game that I seen played last night, and Dallas went off up against Portland. And I think it was more or less of a reluctant situation where, you know, Dallas had the way that I mentioned it earlier today, I said Dallas was playing for survival. Portland has basically ran out of gas in the tank. That's how I'm looking at it. But looking at the fact that Dame's been having to carry so much and CJ has to work his way back into game shape, I don't want to really give them too many excuses. But this is a quite concerning loss that they lose by 40 and being a stronger team within the Western Conference. I want to see how you guys feel about it. I'll come right back to you on this one, Alan. Your thoughts on both of these teams where Dallas is playing for survival at the bottom of the eighth seed, and Portland trying to move on up in the Western Conference as well.
So I'm thinking it's same thing. I know early on we said, you know, Luka's struggling, Mavs, we're not sure they're in trouble. I think they're finding their rhythm right now. Luka's, you know, continue to pick up his rhythm. I think they're making their run right now to move up the standings, because Luka, as we know, is just an all-world talent. And now they got their pieces in place. People are healthy. They're starting to gel. And they're making their run right now. The Blazers, I think it's just CJ was gone so long, and now he's trying to get his feet under him and get his breath in. I feel like they're still filling him out. So it's like you said, TP, like Dean's been carrying the load. Maybe there's a tie, but some, you know, they've been playing these back-to-back. I don't know exactly how their schedule is, but Portland, they're short, you know. They've been without CJ and Nurkic for so long. Dame can only do so much. I know he's Superman. He's up there in MVP voting, but, you know, some nights you just don't have it. And Luka hit, like, I believe he hit, like, 7 threes and scored, like, 37 points in 29 minutes. It's just one of those games. Mavericks were on fire. Blazers didn't have it. You know, it's like a 40-point blowout. I feel like 40-point blowouts aren't that worrisome. I'd be more worrisome if it was, like, the Blazers, they were up 12 in the fourth quarter, and then they lost to the Mavericks. Like, 40-point blowout was just, like, the Blazers didn't have it. They just, you know, they didn't have it, and Luka had it going. It was just a 40-point blowout. But as I pointed out, I just think it's Luka and the Mavs making their push right now, you know, because everyone was kind of down on them in the beginning of the year, and now they're making their push.
Okay. Eric, your thoughts on the situation with the game that took place last night, Dallas in a blowout up against Portland. How do you feel about both of these teams, Dallas plans to survive and Portland actually, you know, basically trying to settle in and get this thing going so they can move at least higher than the fourth seed?
Yeah, you know, the night before, Portland beat the Mavericks 125-119. And Porzingis had 11 points in that game. He 34 minutes, not too big, but they got big production from Tim Hardaway Jr. And then, you know, what happened with the blowout, Porzingis again gets 12 points. So he's playing mediocre right now. He's back in the mix. Hardaway went for 11 points. So the Dallas Mavericks just need to find consistency. They need to get help from other guys. Doncic needs help. That's the bottom line. Powell, Hardaway Jr., Brunson, Richardson, and, of course, Porzingis. These guys need to step up big time in order for them to make any headways in the Western Conference. If they can be consistent, of course, the Mavericks can be right there in the playoff hunt. No question about it. They have the talent. And Portland, same thing. You know, it's kind of shocking to see them get blown out like that when they had the same players playing. They didn't get production from Lillard. He only had 19 points. McCollum had 13. So the whole team kind of fell asleep is what I saw in that game. No defense. So, you know, Portland, their problem is the same thing, consistency. They're always going to get performances from Dame Dollar. Dallas is always going to get performances from Luka Doncic. That's not a question. They just need help from their supporting cast. And if both teams can accomplish this, they're both going to be playoff teams. There's no question in my mind. And it was kind of heartbreaking to see Portland, you know, they are getting back in the mix, and for them to fall flat in their face like that after winning the night before and then getting blown out by 40, that's just unacceptable in my eyes there. So both teams need to be consistent here.
Barry, your thoughts. How do you feel about Dallas and Portland, especially seeing that way that game was played? Is Dallas for real, and they lose some of these games and fall back to the eighth seed or lower? And Portland, I mean, they're starting to get their pieces back. For this type of loss, it questions how Portland's survived. We do have a caller in queue as well.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I agree with what you guys are throwing out there. Listen, Dallas is starting to kind of put it together, and then they kind of fall backwards a little bit. Like, they take one step forward and two steps back. Porzingis has got to be more consistent. I mean, he's had some stretches. He has some nice games. We talked about it. You know, he when he's filling it up and being the leading scorer, you know, they're a good team. When he doesn't have that kind of game, he scores under 20 points, they're inconsistent. And, they kind of go with him. Like, even though Luka's the guy, that's his team, he's the engine. But Porzingis has got to be that consistent scorer next to him. We said that for weeks. So when he does that, Dallas is a dangerous team. If he gets it going, Dallas can move up, and they'll be dangerous in the playoffs. You know, with Portland, Dame Dollar, how much more can this guy do? I mean, he's unbelievable. He is the most clutch player in the NBA, I think, at this point right now. And, you know, he was doing it with McCollum not there. You know, McCollum's back, so now they need to work him back into the flow and get him back going. But, you know, it's really – they're going to go as far as Dame goes. And you know, I don't know if that is enough. I really don't. I really think, like, I just feel like having McCollum and Dame on the team together, they're just not going to get over that hump. I just don't think those two, even though they're a nice duo, they're really dynamic, I just don't think in the West they're enough to win against these teams that you're going to see, like the Lakers and the Clippers and the Mavs and the Jazz and now the Suns. So they're a really good team, but I just don't think they're going to be enough to make that really deep run. So, but we'll see. Listen, stranger things can happen. You know, the Lakers aren't healthy. The Jazz are playing inconsistent. So, you know, the pack will kind of fall back together and everybody will be bunched together. So it's going to be who can stand out. And, you know, out of those two, Dallas should be able to, but I don't believe that they have enough consistency behind Luka. You know, who's going to pull the sled with them?
Okay, call into the show. We have Nas. Nas, welcome to the cafe. How are you feeling this evening?
Yeah, I'm cool, man. What's going on?
Not too much. Throwing around the Dallas and Portland situation out west.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, we always end up saying this, like, on every show. It's, like, it's important not to overreact to things. There's a thing called schedule losses in the NBA. Like, tonight, half of the teams who are playing were on the second night of a back-to-back. You know what I'm saying? Those things matter. Like, are you playing 4 and 6 days? Like, those kind of things matter. And just because this season, because of the travel situation, to where you're kind of playing these home and away series and stuff like that sometimes, to where you play the team, like Portland played, beat Dallas, and then the next night got hammered by Dallas. Like, those kind of things aren't going to happen, but it shouldn't change how you feel about the team. Because sometimes it's the matchup, sometimes it's the night, and everything else. Like, Indy got their doors blown off tonight. They're trying to make a comeback, but they're still down pretty big. But, you know, Brogdon didn't play, and Miles Turner didn't play. So, you know, they were down two starters. So, yeah, Giannis wasn't playing for Milwaukee, but, hell, you send Indiana out there like that, that's a little troubling. But I think Indiana is still a tough out. And, again, like when you're looking at some of these teams, you can't look at them as championship contenders because, you know, most of them are not. But they are teams who can mess up your season. What happens if Indiana gets T.J. Warren back before the playoffs? You see what I'm saying? Like, just think about the pieces that they can kind of move around. They dusted off Jeremy Lamb tonight, and he's playing pretty well. So, you know, it's a lot going on in the league. The Rockets are fighting like hell, trying to end this losing streak, and a dog fight with Toronto tonight. So we'll see how that goes. But, Timeless, you got to talk about the young boys out there in OKC. The young center, Brown. Wasn't it Moses Brown?
I love him.
Where the hell did this kid come from?
Listen, Dirk, if you were here listening to me talk, well, you hear me talk on in Clubhouse, so you already know how I feel about it. They've been sitting on it for far too long. That was troubling about OKC, man. This guy's a 7-footer. He's a natural 10-rebound guy. He's getting 20 and 10 whenever he's putting his mind to it, and they've been waiting on him. So hopefully they can get this to work. I mean, they've been working with a lot of the G League players down there in OKC. They pulled off an interesting win with, you know, going up against Minnesota. I don't think that's another measuring stick. I want to see them win a game up against a team that's actually fighting for something. Not a team that I feel like is – I don't really want to say Minnesota's tanking, but I'll say they are tanking. You know what I'm saying? But OKC's been able to do good without their best players. And Shea came back and had a 30-point night tonight also. So, I mean, I don't like to get hung up on them because I know people would say I'm being biased, but I can dish out the bad, I can dish out the good on the Thunder all in all.
If I could add one more thing about the...
Go ahead, Alan. Say what were you saying? I didn't hear you.
No, if I could just add one more thing about, we're talking about the Mavericks and Trailblazers. I've been reading a lot. I mean, they're in a lot of trade rumors involving both teams, and I feel like if the Blazers get, I've been hearing rumors, LaMarcus Aldridge is interested in going back to the Blazers. That would be a good fit. If the Trailblazers can get LaMarcus Aldridge, I don't know what package they would have to do and who they have to give up, but I think that would be a good pickup for the Blazers. And then the Mavericks have been rumored connected and linked to John Collins of the Hawks. I feel like I feel like he'd be a perfect fit for Luka and KP because John Collins could be the pick and roll man for the oop, and then Luka can also have KP on the perimeter. So something to look for regarding those two teams as the trading deadline comes up.
Yeah, that'd be a tough one for the Mavericks to pull off, for them to have the best package. Because that roster, there's so many guys with contracts that are hard to move. So I don't know how they could do it, but I don't know. Maybe packing some futures in there with it. Who knows? Possible. But as far as Portland and LaMarcus, look, man, what Rick Pitino say, Larry Bird's not walking through that door. And if he does walk through that door, he's going to be old. Like, LaMarcus loved the shooting touch. He can still shoot it. But, man, LaMarcus got old fast. Like, he labors around the court. Defensively, he's a liability at this point. And it's kind of why he was kind of phased out down there in San Antonio. So, like, it's like the Blake Griffin thing. If you're bringing somebody in to play spot duty, cool. But if you're expecting that former all-star to walk in that building, oh, no, he ain't that no more.
Yeah, I agree, Naj. But I think if you bring him in to be the fourth guy, you know, Melo's probably that third guy, CJ is the second, and Dame is that dude. So if you bring him in, and I think he has to accept the role. I think he had trouble doing that in San Antonio. I think he has to accept that he's not that dude. He's not that guy. We just need you to give us a solid 15, 20 minutes, get some rebounds, maybe get some, you know, 10 points a night, you know, getting some, you know, baseline J's and something like that. Just give us what you can for the minutes that we're putting you out there off the bench. Will be good, you know what I mean? But I wouldn't trade picks or anything for him either. Like, honestly, if he's not available after a buyout, I'm not trading for him because, to your point, it's not worth it. It's not worth trading a lot to get him.
Yeah, I get it. And to his credit, he has extended his range. Like, he definitely has that trail three. Yeah, pick and pop three, like he has that in his game now. So you can find some good minutes for him, you know?
It's like you said, Barry, I think he'd be perfect off the bench with Melo, play spot minutes and just – because I think that's what Portland's been lacking the last few years. They don't have enough guns off the bench to, you know, like keep leads or sustain leads or – I just feel like it's always, as we've all mentioned, it's always CJ and Dame the last few years. Come playoff time, they don't have – you know, guns, but they could get LaMarcus on a buyout, not give out too many people. Like, just imagine like a closing five of CJ Dame, whether it be Gary Trent or at the three, and then Melo at the four, and then LaMarcus at the five. Like, that'd be a good closing lineup just to, you know, to close it out with some offensive efficiency. Just something I've been thinking about. Cause I was like, I think LaMarcus would be good right off the bench for Portland, and then Melo, because they're both at the end of their careers, they have to step their roles, and they got to help Dame and CJ out.
Yeah, it's tough, man, because at this point in his career, Rocco's just a much better player. I don't know how you keep Rocco off the floor. So, yeah, it's tough,
yeah,
man.
So he'd be the three. He'd be the
everybody,
three. Yeah,
everybody's getting thirsty for the buyout. So, you know, this is just what it is. We do this every year. Like, okay, this guy could possibly move. Maybe he can help out a little bit, you know. But you got to try. You got to kick the tires on some people.
Okay, well, we are at the tail end of the show. I need plugs and closeouts from each of you. Thank you for stopping by the cafe this evening. Alan, I want to try to get this consistency from you, but I need a plug, closeout, shout out, anything that you like to promote as we shut the doors here at the cafe.
Shout out to Power 103 for the partnership. Check out the Sports City Chefs on IG. We're posting pictures, interesting content, just trying to start the conversation, whether it be on Instagram or Twitter. We just, you know, check out the content. Got the merchandise. So, yeah, Sports City Chefs on the way to big things.
Definitely not. Set it off. Let me get a plug, close out, shout out. We shut the doors here at the cafe.
Yeah, shout out to everybody who called. Y'all did a good show, man. I was able to listen to a lot of it. So, shout out to y'all. Good job on the show. As far as this Rookie of the Year thing, you know how they had a People's Champ and then the person with the title? That's basically what's going to happen to Edwards this year. Edwards may get Rookie of the Year, but this is going to get real Ben Simmons-y, Donovan Mitchell-y. Like, people are going to recognize LaMelo as the guy, even though Edwards is probably going to walk away with the hardware. So that's going to be a fun social media thing that the LaMelo fans are going to be ridiculous, as we all know. But, yeah, that's going to kick up on social media as this season winds down. Sorry to hear him out for the season, though. It was really good watching him this year.
That is a very bad injury, man. But what could you do? Eric, you already know.
And let me say, RIP to the great Elgin Baylor, man. One of the best to ever do it.
Absolutely.
The high flyer before Mike and all of them. 11-time All-Star, 10-time All-NBA, has a 60-point game in the final. Like, the truth, the great Elgin Baylor, man. Please don't remember him as a Clippers exec. Remember him as, you know, one of the best to ever do it. And that's, you know, top 30 all time.
Yeah, I tried to mention all of that at the top of the show and give him his, you know, his flowers at the beginning of the show, even though it's hard to keep talking about these players in that type of light. I mean, you got to do what you can while they are here today and potentially gone tomorrow. You know, I feel bad even saying it like that. Eric, I need a plug, closeout, shout-out, anything that you like to promote as each other doing here at the Cafe?
Yep. Yeah, rest in peace to Elgin Baylor for sure. We pray for a speedy recovery for LaMelo Ball. You know, devastating injury, great rookie season cut short. So we hope he can continue his dominance next season. And check us out, sportscitychefs.com, merchandise, the blogs. We got hot new merchandise. Everybody check it out. We got coffee cups. We got hoodies. We got shirts. Great merchandise. Thank all our listeners out there, power103radio.com. We're out, folks. Have a blessed night.
Last but not least, Billy, you already know what to do. Take it home.
Yeah, listen, first player to ever score over 70 points in a game, Elgin Baylor. Just got to definitely throw that out there. Listen, and Naj, I agree with you. I hope Melo has enough games under his belt, 40-plus games, to walk away with that Rookie of the Year, because nobody deserves it more than him. So we'll see what happens, but... another great show, boys. Love doing the shows with you. We'll be back here again Wednesday on the Callers Cookout. Lots to talk about there, to lament on the Sweet 16, talking some NBA, talking about my Giants stealing Kenny Golladay and getting a nice cornerback today. The Giants are taking a division in football. We got a lot going on. Get to the website, the blogs, the interviews, all that good stuff. I put a new post up there. The Villains Poo-Poo Platter, go read that. Little bit of everything on there. We're doing big things. Get the merchandise. Get your hoodies. Get your T-shirts for your kids, for your babies, for your baby moms, all that good stuff. We got a lot of things popping. Sports City, Villain, we out.
Tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the Chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City, Chefs. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, bloom like a flower in June. Superman versus MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City.